Father, there is freedom in this place. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, and the Spirit of the Lord is welcome in this house. Hallelujah, Father. We just welcome you into this place, into this atmosphere, into this community, and most importantly, we welcome you into the innate part of our lives, Lord, the inner man, Lord Jesus. That is where we need to be changed and transformed, Lord, because without our inner man being transformed, how can we walk this outer man out? Amen. Father, we need your Spirit. We need your Spirit in our lives today. We need your word to go forth. We need your ways to go forth because your ways are higher than our ways. And Father God, your words are higher than our words. And we want to walk according to your words. And we want to talk according to your ways. Lord, apart from you, there is nothing good, but all things in you are good because they are God. And the Bible says that God is the only one that is good. And even when life things around us seem so not good, because you are in us, Lord, we can stand in the face of adversity and say, you are good because you are in me. Thank you, Jesus, that there is more to this life than what we just see. There is more to this life than what we just feel in our emotions. That there is a greater depth of understanding because of what you are and what you've come to do. Lord, help us to tap into that greater knowledge this morning. Help us to tap into that wisdom and that discernment that Solomon keeps talking about in Proverbs, Father, that we may tap into that wisdom, Lord. Because the Bible says we perish without it. And we need it so much to live this life out, God. Oh, Father, I just pray for tongues of fire to fall on the heads of everybody in here. Father, I just pray for a revival, a new beginning, a new way of living to just fall in this place and in the lives of these women that have come wholeheartedly this morning just to seek more of you. More of you in their lives, more of you in their marriage, more of you in their finances, more of you in their daily walk with their children, more of you in their church, more of you in their community, Father. I pray for the tongues of fire that bring a fresh awakening, a fresh wind, a fresh season, a new beginnings to come forth in every woman's life in this place, that they would walk out changed because your fire fell on them this morning. We thank you in advance for that, Jesus. We thank you in advance for the finished work that you are going to accomplish here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we're not working for the cross. We're working from the cross. Help us to understand that we're not in a place of works where we got to work to obtain what you did on the cross. Father, we're walking already in those victories. We've got the bag in hand, Lord. Help us to understand it in our lives and to know it so that we're not just free, but we are free indeed. Come on, ladies, stay with me. I am not free. I am free indeed. I am not free. I am free indeed. Thank you, Jesus. Give him a hand clap of worship. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. I just pray a special blessing over this team that came and blessed us this morning. Oh, Jesus. Thank you for the hearts of those willing to come and share. What a blessing they have not only been to me and to these women, but unto your throne, God. I pray for a double portion back on them today. I pray for every locust that has come to destroy, that God would give them double, triple, quadruple back what the enemy has taken. We thank you for abundance in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Woo! That's what happens when you get a band. When you get the whole picture. You know, things just start to shake up a little bit. This morning during prayer time, we have intercessory prayer before Bible study in here. It's pretty amazing that the ladies that are called to do that, they see visions and God gives them things and we pray and it's beautiful. But one of the women got the picture of new beginnings, so that there's a fresh awakening of new beginnings that was going to come over this place. And I'm sitting there with my mouth dropped because the title of today's message is what? Small beginnings are not forgotten. Oh, for such a time as this, man, the Holy Spirit knows what he does, right? He ain't idiot. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows the season and the timing of everything, and I just love that. So there's a fresh awakening that's going to happen in this place. There's a place of new beginnings. You might be thinking, oh, I'm not in a place of new beginnings. But every day when you wake up with Jesus, you should be in a place of new beginnings because you want to transform that old man and make him go away, and you want to take on the new man. That's a new beginning every day. A new beginning every morning is waking up and saying, Father, just help me not to do the same thing I did yesterday, but help me to press on towards the goal for which I am called to. Yeah. There are new beginnings every day, thank God, because when you have a bad day, you're really excited about that new beginning you get the next day, that new opportunity because of God's grace on our life. Man, he's good. He is so good this morning, and I just can't stop saying it. All right, title of today's message is Small Beginnings Are Not Forgotten. Anytime that you feel like you're involved in something small or something small is beginning in you, something quiet, like a seed, a lot of times we'll get that mentality of, well, it's forgotten because it's so small. No one sees it. No one appreciates it. Come on. No one sees or appreciates it. No one's here to lift me up. It's me, myself, and I. And I feel forgotten. And you can get into that slump in our lives. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. Did you know that you have the God of the universe on the throne who is for you? I don't think you all got that because I got two people that said amen. Do you know that you have the God of the universe that created all things, made all things in his image for you? Amen. So no matter how you feel that's against you, it doesn't really matter because the one who is for you is greater than him who is against you. And just that single revelation this morning should help you the rest of your life. No matter what you face, because he's greater. All we are responsible to do is communicate with Holy Spirit and ask him to lead us, to guide us, to show us. Help me to walk in the ways that you have set before me. Help me not to falter. Keep me from the left. Keep me from the right. I know this pathway is pretty slim, but God, if you are for me, you're going to lead me down the slim path, and you're going to lead me to the place of righteousness and answers and direction. And those things are coming in my life because I am depending on you. I am asking you. We know that our Jesus is a gentleman. He doesn't push, pry onto your life. He wants you to come. He wants you to come to him. Come in humbleness. Come. Come before him. Like the lady last week that we talked about, she was so broken, so forgotten, so lost in her sin, but she came because she heard that Jesus could save us. And she came in humility, and she poured out her best on his feet. And God used her as a beautiful example to his disciples, and not only to his disciples, but to everyone who would read that passage for the rest of their life. I'm just telling you that none of that was written down. I think I just am speaking prophetically this morning. I haven't gotten to the message yet, but God is good. How do you take something new and make it fruitful? That is the number one questions I believe millions are asking with anything. How do I take something small? a seed and watch it grow? How do you take something and make it and make the fruit come from it? And not just fruit, but God fruit, because we want fruit that will last. Amen? Because there is fruit in this world that will fruit, but it doesn't last. But fruit that will last. How do I take something small? What is the process to ripe fruit for eating and equipping the body of believers? Because any fruit that we bear in our lives individually should be ripe for other people to feed off of. Come on. We are not fruit hoarders. Amen. We don't store our apples in a barn and say, "Oh, for me, oh, for me." No, we want to gift them out to equip other people so they can sprout fruit and others throughout the kingdom of God can eat upon their fruit. If I stored all my fruit, what would happen to y'all? I wouldn't get to share. And then you wouldn't go out and get to share. And then those that you share with wouldn't get to share. What is the process of good fruit for equipping the body of believers? Jesus. Come on. Jesus, the great I am. I could talk all day. The King of the universe, the bright and morning star, the rock, our salvation, eternal life. He is so much more than I could possibly say. He is our healer, our deliverer, our Jehovah Rapha, our Jehovah Shalom, our Jehovah Nisi. He was the fruit of life, and he came into this world like a seed. He came into this world in very humble, small beginnings. But let me tell you something, ladies. He left this world with fruit that would feed people for eternity. I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to be a temporary fix for someone's life. I don't want to be the temporary high you get on a Wednesday morning and then you have to go back to your life of hell and just keep threshing through the grapes. No, I want to give you fruit that will last, fruit that will equip you, fruit that you can take and take hold of and walk away with, and things can come in your life that you are hoping and wishing and desiring to come. Fruit that will last. Fruit that will last. Fruit that will last. What is the process to good fruit? Are you ready? I believe that the process to good fruit is all about where your seed is cast. Come on. Now I'm going to talk about the seed, because the seed is important. The seed is the word. Who watched my post yesterday on Facebook? Thank you, Lori. I started to talk about this, give a little for what we're going through today. The seed is God's word. The seed is good. The seed is not bad. The seed is God's word. Okay? There's nothing wrong with the seed, but yet as human beings, we have a tendency to blame the seed, judge the seed, condemn the seed. Come on, I'm preaching here this morning. We have a tendency to want to take our issue and blame it on the seed. Well, the word of God doesn't say that. If only Jesus would do it my way, then things would be okay. The seed is good. What was written is good. God said, he created, and then he said, it was good. You can trust the seed. The hindrance for growth is not in the seed. The hindrance for growth is in where the seed is landing. Come on, this is going to be good this morning. Jesus tells us an amazing parable in the Bible about where the seed can go in our lives. And we're just going to break it down, literally. If I could break dance, I would right now, because that's what we're about to do. We're going to break it down and see where our seed is landing. Where is it landing? So let's open up the Word of God. I hope you have a Bible here this morning. I see on the front row, you two ladies don't have a Bible. Y'all want to grab a Bible? There we go. I can do that because she's my good friend. We've known each other for a long time. All right, we're going to turn to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 5. When you're there, say amen. Oh, y'all are just ready to go. Okay, this is the parable of the seed. Are you ready? Luke chapter 8, verse 5. I'm going to read 5 to 15. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Verse 7. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plant. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Oh, I forgot to do that this morning. Father, open our ears to hear, our eyes to see, our hearts to receive, and our mind to understand your word to hear this morning. Amen. Though seeing, they may not see. Though hearing, they may not understand. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. There we go. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock and the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. Verse 15, and the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. A lot going on there. I can't wait to get into it. Now, Jesus talks about four different places that the seed, his word, can land in our lives. And we're going to go one by one and really get into this. We're going to end with the soil, which is the good place, but we're going to start with the path. The path is the first place that the seed can land in our life. What does the path represent? Well, I want you to get a visual here with me this morning. If you have a house, and usually along the front of a house, you'll have a little bit of a garden or something, you know, a planter of some sort. And this is, you know, where the dirt is. This is where the plants are growing or whatever. And then you have the sidewalk over here, right, to get to the front door. So the seed is cast and it lands on the path. It's not even in the soil. Come on. It lands on the path. So when I look at that, I immediately say it's in the wrong place. It's in the wrong place. It can do nothing on the path. It's in the wrong place. So the path stands for the word of God landing in the wrong place. It's out of place. It's out of place in your life. It's not where it needs to be. There is no way for it to operate and give you growth because it is just out of place in your life. And you might be asking me, what is out of place in my life mean? If you are not taking the seed and daily using it in your life, come on, this is a challenge here this morning. If you are not waking up and using the seed, the word of God, throughout the day, in your life, in your marriage, in your circumstances, in your mothering, whatever it is, if you are not declaring the seed of God's word over you on a daily basis, it is out of place. It's out of place. It's got to be a part of you in order for it to take root and grow. Come on, ladies. It's got to be a part of you in order for it to take root and grow. If it's not, it's out of place in your life. It's out of place in your life. It's so easy to get the word, the seed, and misplace it. I'm going to tell you, personally, I spent years misplacing the word. I grew up in a place where I heard the word all the time, but I misplaced it. Why did I misplace it? Because I didn't treasure it. I didn't understand it. And that which we do not treasure, understand, we don't pay attention to, and it gets lost. It gets lost. It gets lost. Do you treasure his seed? Come on, ladies. Do you treasure his seed? Because what you treasure, you will protect. You will protect. hold it closely to you, because his seed will change you. If I could just get that revelation into you this morning, treasure his seed. It is life-giving. It is hope in a hopeless word. Man, I go to the gym and I work out and they have like 5 TVs up there with 5 different news channels. I mean, it's hilarious, literally, because every news channel is totally different. Nothing is the same. And I'm sitting there looking at what's going on in this world. You know, you've got the new Texas Tech killing happening here, you know, killing an innocent officer. And then we just had, you know, of course, what's happened in Las Vegas. And then you have the fires in California. And then you have the people from the hurricane still recuperating. And the earthquakes in Mexico. Come on, ladies. I'm sitting here saying, is it not obvious that this place is shaking? There is a great shaking. And I'm going to tell you something about shaking. Shaking can either make you fall, or shaking can cause you to rise above and hang on to something. Come on. Shaking can make you fall, or shaking can make you rise above and hang on to something. I believe that there's a shaking, but we've got to grab on to the higher thing in our lives. We got to stop falling into our condemnation and falling into our low places and falling into our sloths and falling back on our mats and saying, woe is me. Oh, come on, I know I'm there. I was there this week. But sometimes we got to grab hold of that which is higher and cling to it and say, I know, God, I don't understand the shaking in my life, but I am going to cling to you because I know if I cling here, I won't fall. Amen. And you will get me through. Amen? The next place for the seed to fall in our lives is the rocks. The rocks. Jesus tells us that the rocks represent a place that allows no rooting. No rooting because it doesn't allow moisture to grow in. It's a shallow planting. A shallow planting. So it's hard for moisture to get in. We need moisture to grow, do we not? In that place of rocks, where it's shallow, I believe they represent the rocks in our lives. The hard places. The hard places. The places that we harden our heart to things in our life, and it hinders growth. It hinders moisture, which hinders rooting. What are your hard places? Because we can be, we read about Pharaoh and we say, oh, Pharaoh. But we can be just like Pharaoh and say, no, I will not let my people go. And harden our hearts. Come on, this is how we do it. No, I will not give up that addiction. No, I will not say I'm sorry to that person. They were wrong to me. They have to come up to me and apologize. No, I won't forgive them. I'm not going to forgive them. Are you kidding me? Look what they did to me. Those are hard places in our life. Those are rocks in our hearts. And what happens? The seed bounces off those places. And then we wonder why we don't ever have fruit in specific areas of our life. Hard places. Hard places. We've got to come to a place where we say, Father, soften my hard places. Soften my hard places. Soften the places where I'm resisting the Holy Spirit's work in my life and it's hindering me. Soften my rocks, Lord. Break up the rocks. Break them up in my life. That's all you got to say. Jesus knows your heart. Holy Spirit knows your heart. You just have to say, Father, break up those hard places. What is it that you're wanting me to do? You want me to forgive? I'll forgive. You want me to go say I'm sorry? I'm going to go say I'm sorry. You want me to give up something that I know is not good? Okay. By your grace. By your grace. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to go deep here. And this might step on some toes, but this is the word of God. Your hard places are places where you're allowing your thoughts to be higher than God's thoughts. And it's a place where you're allowing your ways to be higher than his ways. And anytime you do that, that is idolatry. Not adultery, idolatry. Idolatry, which I guess could turn into adultery, depending on what it is. But idolatry. We have just have to ask for softening the hard places in our life. Break up. Holy Spirit, forgive me. Repent for having that pride. I feel like a rock says pride on it. It says, I resist. I don't want. I don't like. I don't need. Amen. The third place the seed can fall. The thorns. The thorns. Look at verse 7 and then verse 14. I just want to reemphasize this. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plant. I want you to underline which grew up with it. Which grew up with it. Which grew up with it. I believe that the thorns represent the pains of our youth. The pains of our youth that grow up with us because we've never dealt with them in our youth. So they grow up with us. And as grown-ups, we still are being poked by childhood nightmares. Come on. Do you know how much therapy women are getting now for little girl damage? This hinders our maturity in Christ because we are stuck in yesterday's pains. Therefore, we have a hard time moving forward with our relationship with Jesus, with the comfort of relationship with Jesus, because we continually are battling the thorns from our past. Come on. Someone has a revelation here this morning. It's not only me that struggles with thorns in my life. But, oh, I forgot my shearers. I was going to bring big shearers this morning. Darn it. You get the picture. Sometimes we have to be willing to go get some equipment. Come on. There's lots of equipment available in this world. Some big old shearers and start doing something about the thorns choking us out. Sometimes we got to get in there and start clipping back those thorns and say, no longer will you choke my future. No longer will my past define my future. No longer will I allow these thorns to poke me and to injure me and to cause me to bleed every so often and to cause me to stop receiving the maturity and love of Jesus Christ and from stopping the fruit of his word to get in me. We got to get our shears out. And we got to start clipping away. One time I was studying the Word of God, dealing with some personal things in my life. And I was just asking God, I was sitting in a chair looking out the window, and I was just asking God to remove those hindrances and remove those things. And he said, get up right now, go get some shears, and I want you to go prune that tree out there. And I was like, okay. So I got up, got some shears, and I just started clipping this tree out there. You know, just clipping, which it's not the most fun thing to do. But as I began to clip, I began to name some thorns in my life. I began to clip away and actively say, this is that. This is that. This is that. And for some reason, taking my faith into action did something in my life to bring healing in an area that I thought I would never be healed from. We got to get the tools needed to clip back so that we can get the seed of God's word in us so we can bear fruit. Come on. The Bible says he will take the crooked places and make them straight. He says he will take beauty for your ashes. He says he will take the bad and make it good. He's constantly saying, if you just follow me, I will turn the situation around for you. He will bring restitution. All right. Last but not least at all, the last place for the seed to fall is the place and the only place that can bear fruit. So I just want to spend a little bit more time on this specific place because this is very important. If Jesus himself takes time to explain how I can get his word, which is the seed, to bear fruit in my life, I need to pay attention to exactly what it is he's saying. So how many of you have ever done a study on soil? Because soil is actually the thing that the seed and only the seed can bear fruit in. Come on. So I did a study on soil, and it was very interesting to me how much it relates to what we're talking about past things here this morning. So go with me here this morning. What is soil? How is it formed? Soil is formed by the breaking of rocks.
Amen.
Wait a minute. Did I just say that soil is formed by the breaking of rocks? Ah! OM gosh. I'm going to go on. Soil is formed by the breaking of rocks and a mixing of decayed organic material. Woo! This is the place where Jesus says fruit comes. What does this mean, and how does this relate to me now? The rocks, the hard places in our life, those things that keep us from producing fruit. When you decide to break up what says, I don't want to mature and grow, which is really just resisting the work of the Holy Spirit. What you say, I don't want to mature and grow, God uses it to form what will grow in you. Woo! I'm going to repeat that so you get that. What you are against and say, I don't want to mature and grow, and then ask God to soften those places in your life, they begin to break up. God uses it to form what will grow in you. Gosh, is that not accurate according to the Word of God? That he will take the broken things and reuse them. He doesn't discard you. He reforms you. He restores you. He doesn't get rid of you. He wants to reuse you according to his image, not according to sin and the world and what it has tried to shape you into. God is a God of restoring and redemption and reforming. Man, that's good stuff. I'm so glad that he doesn't just cast me away and say, go away. Wow. Break up the hard places. Easy peasy. Break up the hard places. Let God work in your life to save you from producing nothing. Man, I think the biggest loss in this world is living a life of producing nothing. Producing nothing when we have so much potential, because a seed is so small, but inside the seed there is so much potential for greatness when it is cast in the right spot. So much. The Word of God has so much potential in our lives when it lands in the right place in our lives. So much. Are you ready? The broken rocks. The next thing. It's also made of a mixture of decaying organic material. Well, does that not speak of the old man? The dead things, your past, the things you've let go of, the things that God has said is done. When you came into the kingdom of God, you left the old ways, you left the old man. That is decaying dead stuff. That's the old stuff that we are to let go of and get rid of. And let it fall to the ground. Jesus says, unless it fall to the ground and die, it cannot bear fruit. Come on. It's the stuff that we let go of and say, it doesn't need to be a part of me. If it's not a part of my future, I don't need it in the present. Because God's going to use it to form something fruitful in you. But you have to lay it down. You have to say, I'm done. I can't carry this anymore. It's not mine to carry. I'm putting it down there with my broken rocks. I'm letting it go. I need it to just be done in my life. And God says, now I've got the perfect combination and I can stir it all up. And now I can drop the seed. When the seed goes in there, now you're going to see fruit. Now you're going to see fruit. Now you're going to see life appear in this place. There's nothing like a person who keeps hold of that which is dead. It's like carrying around a giant carcass. I'm serious. You carry around this dead carcass everywhere, and then you wonder why the spiritual vultures keep pecking at you. Because you're carrying around that which needs to be let go. You're carrying around the dead things, and you need to let them fall to the ground. You need to let the dead things fall to the ground so we're not smelly, stinky, unattractive by carrying this thing around. Let it go. Just let it go. I won't sing the song, I promise. God says, press on towards the goal. Don't look back. If you are not producing fruit, check your soil. Isn't that easy? Because when we don't produce fruit, we're like, oh, I've got to do all this. Oh. It's just a matter of checking your soil. What's your soil made of? Are you carrying some hard places? Are you carrying some hard places? Are you still carrying what needs to be let go? Give them to God. He'll make something new out of it. Look at verse 15. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. Persevering. It says persevering produce a crop. It does not say by perfection. You need to understand this. This is not attained by doing everything perfect. We are not perfect people. It says by persevering. By persevering, it produces a crop. The one who perseveres, press in and on, looking ahead, not at what you've lost, but looking with a vision for the fruit to come and looking at what God has ahead of you, is persevering despite the obstacles that you encounter. Because I'm going to tell you what, a seed in soil has things to overcome as it produces fruit, i.e., it's got to grow upward against pressure. Come on. It's got to grow upward against pressure, the pressure of the rocks, the pressure of the dead things, the pressure of those things that try to lay hold. But God says, you keep persevering and I'm going to produce something powerful through that. Once it gets above that pressure, it's got so much freedom to grow with the right sun and the right water and nutrition on a daily basis. And when it grows, then the fruit starts to come. See, everybody wants the fruit. Everyone sees the fruit. But without root, guys, there can be no fruit. We should spend the majority of our time with our root. And we spend the majority of our time with our fruit. And we need to get down into the root and maintain the root and continue to make sure that there's fresh soil. A real person that understands agriculture would know that you spend more time with the soil and the preparation and the feeding of the root and the root than you do the actual fruit, because the fruit is not it. It's the root that produces the fruit. And if the root goes bad, the fruit will eventually go bad. Check your roots every day. Lay them down. Tend to them. So God can do a good thing in your life. Don't you want to see some good fruit? Who wants to see some good fruit? I'm not talking about the boring stuff, the really good stuff like mangoes. Stuff that you only get seasonal. I want that kind of fruit. Father, I thank you for this time, Lord. I thank you for this teaching from the Word. It is from you. It is completely from you. And I thank you for it, Lord. Father, I just thank you so much for the ability to come together in one place and learn of you without the fear of being imprisoned or death. Thank you for that we still have this freedom in this world, Lord, and we thank you so much for this place and this church for allowing us to meet in this place together and hear from you. Bless these women as they go forth. Bless these women as they go forth. Father, just give them a desire for root maintenance. That there might be mighty fruit to come out of this place. In Jesus' name, amen.